that didn't decide that, that's Bloomsday, I'll just stay home today. Sometimes I think people do that. It's just like, oh, they're not doing anything in it. It's just like, oh, you know, it's a good excuse. So this is probably one of the bigger Bloomsday Sundays we've actually had at church. There is a wheelchair category, you know. I can remember in town having people go and do it and be at church. I'm just like, good for them. So, I did it once. So, let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful day today. And just so grateful that we can come and gather here together freely. That we have every right to worship you together. And it's only because of you. There's so many other places in this world that they really take their lives in their hands when they worship you, when they gather together in your name. And so, Father, help us to never take that for granted. And I just pray this morning that as we participate here in communion, as we remember what Jesus did for us, that we would never take that for granted either. That we would daily remember that you gave us your Son. And so, Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just encourage us today, would light a fire in us today, that we would go out from this place and be followers of Christ, be examples, be ambassadors for him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go over just a few announcements to start with. Very few. So the National Day of Prayer is coming up next week. It's actually on Thursday. So we'll have our prayer times on Thursday instead of Tuesday of this coming week. And that's probably the big one. The other thing is I just again want to remind people of the project book that the deacons have put together, looking for just some volunteer help with some different projects. And it's actually back there today. And so you can look through that and see if there's something that you might want to help us out with. So, thinking through celebrating communion here today, and I'm always amazed at how God will orchestrate things. Because as I came into this week thinking, oh, here we go, another communion, and you know, it probably doesn't affect you guys like it does me, but it just feels like all the time we're doing communion and trying to come up with something different. And I know that I always have to come up with something different, but just, you know, praying about that this week and wondering, okay, God, so where are we going to go? Should I go ahead and do First Timothy, or should I just do communion, or what should I do? And notice that a week ago Friday was the beginning of Passover. I don't know if any of you noticed that or not. It was the beginning of Passover, and I thought, well, that's interesting considering we're doing communion this coming Sunday. And so just kind of working through that and decided that, you know, I just felt like God saying, let's look at Passover and communion because they're related, right? Passover and communion are very much related. And so that's what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at this, we're going to look at Passover and communion and how they really fit together and how really communion ends up being the culmination of Passover. When Jesus came, that was the final fulfillment of what Passover was all about. So we're going to start off in Exodus chapter 12. And this is where we see Passover and what was going on there. And so the Israelites are in Egypt, And they're being oppressed. They're basically slaves in Egypt. And Moses is chosen to come and deliver the Israelites. And so in that process, we get Passover is instigated at the end of that when God finally says, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to take out all the firstborn children, and that will be the final thing that will then turn Pharaoh to say, okay, you guys can go. But in that, it wasn't just the firstborn of the Egyptian. It was going to be the firstborn of anybody that didn't do what God said to do. And so what he told them to do was, is you take a lamb, and there's some significance here. It says, take a lamb on the 10th of the month, and you basically bring it into your household, and then on the 14th, you're going to slaughter it. So what they did was, is they had 4 days to make sure this lamb was a perfect, unblemished lamb. Jesus came into Jerusalem 4 days prior to his crucifixion. Jesus was the Passover lamb also. So you're going to take this lamb, you're going to slaughter it, and you're going to put the blood around your door, so that when the angel of death comes to take out the firstborn, the angel will pass over those who have the blood. And so we have the lamb, this picture of the lamb, the perfect unblemished lamb to be the sacrifice. We have the blood that's a sign to show that they're doing what God says to do, to take that blood and put it on there. One of the other things they're to do is they're to get rid of all the leaven in their house. In fact, they have for 7 days, and they celebrate the Passover for a week. For 7 days, all the leaven has to be taken out of the house. And as we see in the New Testament, leaven is a picture of sin. It's a picture of sin. And so they're wanting to get rid of all the leaven. And they take time to do that, to make sure they've gotten rid of it. One of the things that happens during Passover is, so the Passover or the Seder, to begin with, a child will ask, why is this night different? And that begins the process. And so then what happens in the process of like the Seder meal, it's then the story. Here's what happened. Here's what God did. And they do that every year to remember this is what God did. Just as we celebrate communion to remember what Jesus did. There was a significant Passover then that happened with Jesus and his disciples. I think that's the next slide, Ron. So Jesus and his disciples celebrated the Passover. They gathered in the upper room. Jesus did something else very significant there as he washed their feet. Him being the rabbi, the leader, was giving them that picture of even though he may be the greatest, he's still to be a servant. And he gave them a picture in there. This is in Luke chapter 22. The Passover, as they celebrate, as they sit around the table, as they're having conversation, and they get out the bread and they get out the cup, and they're going through the whole thing just like it's Passover. You know, they're remembering what happened when they came out of Egypt. They're celebrating the Passover. But Jesus then puts in there something that's coming. Really, it was a foreshadowing of what was coming because it hadn't happened yet, and the disciples weren't really clear on what's exactly going on. So in Luke 22, verse 1 says, now the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. Then in verse 7, then came the first day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover for us so that we may eat it. Then verse 19, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten saying, the cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Now, one of the things you have to kind of think about here is, I think they would have been a little confused. Because when he said, this is my body, do this in remembrance of me, they're like, well, why would we need to remember you? You're right here. You know, they didn't really understand what was coming. And the blood signifying the new covenant, this new covenant that's coming. Because they were good Jewish men, they would have had a concept of that there would be a new covenant coming when Messiah came, but they still weren't totally aware of what exactly was going to have to happen to him. And so they celebrate the Passover, and in the midst of that, Jesus is also telling them, here's what you're going to do after that. I'm going to go away, and you're going to need to remember me. And every time you do this, you need to remember me. So the wine or the juice representing Jesus' blood that he shed for us. Excuse me. That blood that was smeared on the doorpost was now going to be smeared on the cross. The new covenant was coming. That the blood of Jesus Christ, the final perfect lamb, was going to be shed for them. 1 Corinthians 5, 7, the second half of 7 says, for Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. That Jesus was the Passover lamb. Then we look in 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul then talks to the Corinthians about the Lord's Supper or communion. And he gets into a little even more detail about what is going on here. And so we can ask the question, and you know, I think those of us who have had kids, young kids who have been in a service when we've done communion, they want to know, well, what is this? What's going on? Can I have some juice? Can I have a cracker? And it gives us the opportunity then to explain to them, well, here's what this is about. It was the same with the Passover. It gave opportunity to explain, here's what God did. We need to remember what he did. And it's the same within communion, that we need to remember what Jesus did. And we need to remember it actually every day. What he's done for us, what he saved us from. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us from all sin. Think of what Jesus went through, even prior to crucifixion, being beaten, being spit on, being cursed. And one of the thoughts that came to me this week, and I don't know if this is really part of what was really going on, but you think about God's wrath. Okay, God's wrath. Because we're sinners, we deserve God's wrath. We deserve God's judgment. But Jesus took that on himself. And I'm wondering if what Jesus went through prior even to the crucifixion was God's wrath being poured out on him as they were beating him and spitting on him and swearing at him. All that stuff that we should have gotten, God poured it out on Jesus instead of us. those of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior. Because he was that final sacrifice for sin. Hebrews 10:10-12 says, "By this we have been sanctified, we've been separated through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God." In other words, it was done. It was completed. That's why he was able to sit down at God's right hand. Finished. The final sacrifice. The only sacrifice that ever needed to then be done to take care of our sin. Because Jesus died for the sins for all. 1 Peter says, "The just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." Then there's this idea of the leaven. And Paul talks about, he doesn't use that term, but he talks about in 1 Corinthians 11, where he's talking about the Lord's Supper, and he's saying, "I received this from Jesus. He himself told me about this." Because remember, Paul wasn't there. Paul was persecuting the church at the time when that Passover took place with the disciples, where he said, "This is my body. I do this in remembrance of me." And he took the cup and said, "This is the covenant. This is my blood, the new covenant. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Verse 27 says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks a cup in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." And then verse 28, and here's where this idea of leaven, "But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup." You know, we celebrate communion once a month on the first Sunday of the month. So we know it's coming. And what I would encourage you to do is don't wait till today to make sure that you've taken care of the leaven in your life. The picture that we have with the Passover is 7 days prior. Get rid of that leaven. You know, communion's coming. What in our life, what the sin in our life, the leaven in our life, what do we need to deal with prior to coming here today and going, "I can absolutely partake of communion because I've taken care of all accounts. I've gotten that leaven out of my life." Now, that doesn't mean that on the way to church this morning you may sin, because it only takes about that long, right? But we can ask God for forgiveness and we can move on. But thinking ahead, examining ourselves, making sure that we've taken care of that. 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 7 says, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough?" Now that idea, it takes just a little bit of yeast to make the dough rise. It takes just a little bit of sin to mess us up. Verse 7 says, "Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Being honest and authentic with ourselves to really be able to say, "So how am I doing? You know, how am I doing? How am I doing with God? How am I doing with man? You know, is there some issues that I need to deal with so that when I partake of communion, I'm not doing it in an unworthy manner that would bring shame on Christ? 1 John 1:6 through 9 says, "If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us." Verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Praise God. Praise God that we can go to him and we can confess and that we can repent and he will forgive us. He will forgive us. Knowing that, within probably another 30 seconds, we'll sin again. But yet, Jesus' blood has covered it. It's covered it. It's then our responsibility to believe that, to believe that Jesus died once and for all, and to then also believe that God forgives us if we will but ask for forgiveness. If we will repent, turn from our sin, doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. And God understands that. That's a whole other thing that just kind of boggles my mind sometimes to think, you know, Jesus dying for us on the cross, knowing that some would accept and some would reject, and even those who accept would not be perfect. They would still sin and need to repent and ask for forgiveness, but they wouldn't need to be saved again because they're saved, but they're still going to sin. And yet God loved us so much that he allowed Jesus to go through what he went through, even knowing, bless you, that we would reject. So I want us to take a little bit of an extended time this morning, just kind of examining ourselves. I'm going to have Lynn come up and she's going to play. And so we're just going to take a little bit of extra time and just kind of listen to the music, pray, you know, seek God. Ask him. Ask the Holy Spirit, is there things in my life today, right now, that I need to deal with before I participate in communion? Thank you. have the guys come on up. This bread representing the body that Jesus gave for us. Take, eat in remembrance of Jesus. Thank you. So the cup, a representation of the blood that Jesus shed for us. So take, drink in remembrance of Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and pass your cups to the middle. The guys will pick them up. So God bless you all. Thanks again for coming and worshiping together. Have a great week.